Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania. In the spring of 2017, under Governor Wolf, the PA Department of General Services decided to sell the Youth Development Center, property of 145 acres valued at $3 million. At 13 buildings, a gym, which included a gym, infirmary, dormitory, cafeteria, underground tunnels connecting the buildings, and it was all surrounded by a 12-foot lighted barbed wire fence. The property was located in Shenango Township, which is near Newcastle, PA. To the shock of the community, it was announced in June of that year that a $400,000 bid for the sale was awarded to an Islamic consulting firm. Now, during the program, we're going to talk about what happened prior to that announcement, some more information on the consulting firm, as well as what happened once the community heard about it. Let's say once the fat hit the fire, we'll put it like that.
Yeah.
We'll talk about what happened then. Now, my guest today is Pastor Bruce Leonardi. He's pastor of a Lutheran church in Greensburg. Thanks, Pastor, for being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks for standing up on this issue. It was totally crazy. To begin with, did they follow the bidding rules, the state itself, on the sale of the property? Did they follow the rules that they set up themselves?
Well, in our opinion, they didn't. They were supposed to announce the sale of the property in the area of the property. But it was never published in the Newcastle News or any local papers. It was published in a Beaver County newspaper. And, of course, nobody in Shenango Township would receive that.
Yeah.
So that was one thing. The other thing was an interesting thing happened. There were three bidders. One of the three bidders placed his bid at the time at the deadline in Harrisburg,
mm-hmm.
and according to bidding rules, they were supposed to be personally submitted and time-stamped.
Right.
I talked with him later on after the meeting, and he said that when he was there and he was submitting his bid, a woman came in a hijab, full hijab,
mm-hmm.
and submitted a bid.
Okay.
Now, obviously, this was a woman.
Right.
So, therefore, the bids had to be personally submitted by the person offering the bid.
Oh, by that person, not the organization, but by the person offering the bid themselves.
Right. The other bids were by Hira as a corporation and a man named Kumar as a person.
Okay.
So, obviously, this woman in a hijab couldn't represent...
Wow. So they broke the rules. Maybe they don't know the geography of Pennsylvania. Maybe they think that Shenango County is actually in Beaver County. I mean, you know, it's crazy. I mean, they're just state governments. Why should they know the geography of the state they are supposed to be serving? Wow. So the bidding process, looking at it from all angles, it appears to have not been done properly. And Hira was the one whose bid was accepted. Who is Hira? Explain what that organization is.
Okay. Hira is, the full name is Hira Educational Services of North America. And interesting enough, the word Hira is a Greek word for the cave that Muhammad supposedly received his revelations from Allah.
Oh, really? Wow.
Hira is a nonprofit, it's still a business, a nonprofit organization, and it was discovered by some research on our part, my mm-hmm. part and others, that it is a two-man business operating out of an apartment in Newark, New Jersey. How they found out about this, I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
And it was also discovered that they had a yearly revenue of $40,000 a year. That was their business.
Well, surely they could afford 145 acres in Lawrence County. You know.
Right.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Also, it was discovered that they had lost their nonprofit status for 2 years in New Jersey because they didn't submit the forms that were required.
Mm-hmm.
Their only experience, really, in anything was getting what are called E-rate grants from the federal government. And they are grants to organizations, schools, and things like that to purchase Internet equipment. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And basically that was only Islamic schools that they got these E-grants
okay.
from.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's basically the business that they were operating before they made this bid.
So how did you find out about it? Because you're in Westmoreland County, and this, of course, was taking place northwest of you in Lawrence County. So how did you hear about it?
Well, that was a hand of grace because mm-hmm. a former member of Act for America, Pittsburgh, moved to the Newcastle area about 2 years before.
Oh, okay.
And when she found out about this, she called me.
Okay.
And that's how I got connected.
Yeah, I didn't throw in the intro that you're not only a pastor, but you're also the chapter president of Act for America there in Pittsburgh. So give us a little bit of information on what Act for America is and what you guys do.
Yeah, Act for America is an organization founded to inform people about Islam.
Mm-hmm.
And Islamic activity in America. And basically, we try to keep people aware of things so that we can preserve our culture and prevent any types of advancement of Sharia law and other negative aspects of Islamic religion.
Okay, we definitely need that input in that education, because what I view America has become more Muslim-friendly since 9/11. And they've forgotten, I think, who the terrorists really were in that scenario on 9/11. So your concerns were that it was an Islamic organization that had won the bid, the rigged bid, I would describe it as. But they won that. They were going to have access to 145 acres that had buildings in place, the tunnels connecting the buildings, the existing 12-foot barbed wire fence around it. And they were not saying what they were going to use the facility for. What were your fears, and how were you allowed to express those fears?
Well, as you pointed out, the community found out mm-hmm. on June the 2nd when the bid
okay.
was awarded to them. And then I think the bidding was conveniently timed
mm-hmm.
because Ramadan began on May 24th.
Okay.
And so, therefore, when it was discovered who won the bid and people tried to find out information about Hara, they couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And the excuse they gave was it was Ramadan.
Yeah.
And that really frustrated a lot of people
as
what their intentions were. Incidentally, on June 15th, they were able to sign and return the bill of sale to Department
okay.
of General Services
mm-hmm.
on June 15, which is in Ramadan.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting, yes.
They couldn't answer their phones
mm-hmm.
or any emails, but they could do transactions
mm-hmm.
with the state.
Yeah.
So because of that lack of information, there was a meeting held in Chenango Township, community meeting at the Chenango Township headquarters there, and there were a lot of people there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was there. Yeah, I remembered. There was a good crowd, yeah.
Yeah. Now, this was not the forum. This was
okay. Well, I was not at the first one then. Okay.
Yeah, the first one was on the 8th, and a lot of people were there also. They were wanding people, and security was tight, and
mm-hmm.
a lot of objection as to what might happen to that property.
Yeah.
So that meeting happened, and then that kind of kicked into gear a lot of things by the local politicians. There was a resolution 150. Presented in the House of Representatives to try to, slow down this process
mm-hmm.
that seemed to be escalating and undercover. Also, a couple suits were filed by the township and other
mm-hmm.
groups concerning this bidding process, whether it was violated or not. And so litigation began probably right after the 8th of June. And then, as my person in Newcastle informed me, there was going to be a public forum on June 23rd.
Okay,
right?
That's the one I was at then. Okay.
Yes, that's where you
were. Okay.
And so she asked me to come. I talked to some of the coordinators of it, and they invited me to speak.
Mm-hmm.
The forum was held on June 23rd. It's interesting to point out that there's still silence from HIRA at that point, and there wasn't a press release from them until the 30th.
The week after?
Yes.
Okay.
And also, the meeting forum was on the 23rd, but the Ramadan ended the 24th of June.
Oh.
And that's when the state, 5 days later, signed the bill of sale that had been signed by HIRA, and it was executed on the 29th. The sale was, you might say, the agreement was finalized.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then on June 30th, HIRA puts out a press release as to what they were going to do with the property.
And what was that? What was their intention to use the 145 acres for?
Okay, in their press release, they said they wanted to have a juvenile youth development center, as it was before. But they, because they have no experience in that area, they were going to hire a company called Juvenile Detention Alternative Initiative and to run it for them. And they said they were going to have programs for STEM and technology and, you know, kinds of a curriculum, kind of like a trade school in a sense.
Was this going to be for any kid, kids in that area? Was it going to be for any child, or was it just targeting Muslim kids?
Okay, they neglected to mention in their first press release that they were also going to create Islamic dormitory housing.
Oh.
And so that meant, and I figured this would probably happen, that meant they would be bringing in Muslim youth from all over the country.
Oh, yeah.
So that was not mentioned. And then also, you know, there was a kind of a Skype with one of the local politicians a few days after that because, as you said, the bacon hit the pan.
Yeah.
And his remarks mainly focused on how Islamophobic and racially discriminatory the community was, and he was really concerned about
that. That was a local politician?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And so, you know, they were already on the defensive about what had happened. So, but at the meeting on the 23rd, I was promised about 20 minutes to speak, and they told me that I could only speak for 5 minutes.
Oh, 5 minutes. So Jay just cut it way down there.
Yeah. So
who had told you the 20 minutes was okay, and then who said, no, you can only have 5 minutes? How, I'm assuming it was local township supervisors? Who said
well, at first, I was called into a meeting before the program began. I was told that they didn't want me to talk at all.
Oh.
And, but I said to them, you know, well, hey, I came all this way from Pittsburgh planned a speech, and, you know, how can you do this to me? So they cut it down to 5 minutes. And during the entire forum, politicians took possibly, it was at least an hour, maybe an hour and a half, stating their positions. And then finally I was given 5 minutes, and then there were some questions and answers after that.
Yeah. Wow. But at least you were allowed to voice your concerns. I mean, that's
yes.
Interesting. So what happened in the end? I mean, we went through this forum, and the contract's been signed, and everything's, you know, as far as the state's concerned, everything's done. HIRA put down, I think, a $30,000 down payment, and they had 60 days to come up with the rest of the money. Did that happen?
No, it didn't.
Okay.
Actually, it was probably less than 60 days.
Okay.
They had to have it in by the 28th of August. In the meantime, because the state had legal filings against them, suits against them for what they had done and how it had been done.
Right.
They could not give a clean, you might say, bill of sale without liens on it.
Okay.
Which meant that, you know, that was a contract that had some stipulations. Also, the HIRA could not come up with the remaining $360,000.
Okay.
In other words, they couldn't find a lender.
And another thing, they were going to form a nonprofit, which meant that Shenango Township would not get tax revenue. That's my understanding of nonprofits. They don't generate tax revenue for the local municipality. Is that correct?
Right. That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, and the township had, you know, looked forward to that. You know, Newcastle is kind of a depressed area,
right.
And it was really important for them to get that tax
right.
income.
Okay, but the state didn't take any of that into consideration and kept the local politicians in the dark, sounds like. So Hira was not able to come up with the money, and it was all a done deal until they delivered a birthday present to you last year. What happened there?
Yeah, well, I was given a summons. It said that I was being sued for violating a civil rights code by violating or interfering with a contract for religious or racial discrimination.
So they're blaming you for the failure of the sale, basically, because you were discriminatory.
Well, there were others in the lawsuit also.
Wasn't just
there were eight other politicians that they were suing also.
Okay.
But the judge decided to separate the two cases, the politicians were one side of it and myself on the other.
Okay, which is probably a good thing in the end.
Right. Oh, it was, yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a God thing there. So you had to look for an attorney.
Right.
So how'd that
Well, it didn't go too well at first because, see, this is a federal case.
Okay.
Because I don't have a lot of mm-hmm. money, I had to have it done pro bono.
Right.
And so I talked to a few lawyers in Pittsburgh. First one turned me down, but he gave me a tip on a second one, and
okay.
he was willing to help at the beginning stages.
Okay, good.
Then a contact that I had with a staffer in Act for America suggested Thomas Moore.
Okay.
You know, a law center.
Out of Chicago, I think. Yeah, good.
Actually, Dearborn, Michigan.
Oh, Dearborn, Michigan. Okay.
Yeah. And so he kind of handled the case at first because if I hadn't filed a brief of some kind by a certain deadline, mm-hmm. it would have been forfeited.
Wow.
Thankfully, he did that in a timely way that mm-hmm. it didn't happen.
Right.
And then that gave me some time to find. He said he would do it for a couple hearings or so. But,
right.
So then that's when I found the Thomas Moore Law Center.
Okay, good. And again, this is all taking place in just last year, right? I mean, this is all taking place just last year.
Right.
2018.
Yeah. 2018.
Right. Yeah. So the case proceeded, and actually in June of last year, there was a mediation hearing held to settle the suit because Hira wanted it settled out of court. So
right.
what happened there?
In these civil suits, they like to have what's called a mediation. In other words, settle it out of court.
Right.
And at that time, I was sick, and I couldn't go, and this temporary lawyer in Pittsburgh helped out, and I was excused from the hearing.
Okay.
And then by that time, the lawyer from Thomas Moore Law Center stepped in and was available to come to future hearings.
Okay.
And the first one was in, there were two in December, and one in January.
Okay,
and so
it was advancing. At least the first judge did not dismiss the lawsuit, and it was advancing. And then what happened later?
Well, the first judge, as you said, would not dismiss it, and then we got a new judge.
Okay.
And this judge was recently appointed by President Trump.
Okay.
She held two hearings. And then January, there was another hearing. And then on March 4th, she gave her final ruling and dismissed my part of the case.
Wow. Because Howard wanted you, my understanding is the mediation was Howard just wanted $400 from you. I mean, not that $400 is a small amount for most of us, but they wanted $400 from you and basically a signed confession that you had maligned them.
Right.
Basically, that was what they wanted.
Yeah, that's what I think was their bigger objective.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
in the Muslim community in America, Act for America has been kind of a thorn in their flesh.
Oh, yeah.
And so to get a statement saying that one mm-hmm. of their acting chapter presidents had maliciously mm-hmm. maligned hatred.
Yeah. Et cetera, et cetera.
And racial discrimination, that would have been a big feather for them to fly around, you know.
Yeah.
And so that was really the more important thing, I think, that they were after.
Yeah. Do you know how the property is being used today?
Well, I believe, you know, it's still in court. I haven't learned of any other orders on the final decision for the politicians in the township. But a successful bid was made by another company in December of last year, and bidding was opened again, and then another bid was successfully given to another company, and they were granted it, and they're actually doing some things on that property, I understand.
Okay, good. So what advice would you give folks on the local level? What should they be watching for?
Well, first of all, HIRA, we found out HIRA had put bids on two other prisons.
Okay.
In western Pennsylvania.
Okay.
The state's kind of selling off prisons.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing is if you see a prison or a juvenile detention center going up for sale, you know, get involved and find out who's buying it and when the bidding is and things like that.
Okay.
The fact that they're, you know, buying prisons, you know, you should look for any red flag that has to do with a property that's secure, property that's, like in the case of the detention center, it was surrounded by fencing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you'd have to get a warrant to get in there.
Yeah.
And so look for something like that. And also, communities should not think they have to roll over to these kinds of things.
Right.
That they have to give in.
Mm-hmm.
There are ways, I mean, people have to follow codes. There are ways presenting plans for usage of property. There are a lot of things that HIRA just bypassed.
Wow.
And so communities have to be aware of the local codes. And just because it's a Muslim organization, not roll over and just give up.
Right. And then not be afraid to stand up to the state, too, because obviously the Shenango Township did with that whole thing. Because it appears to me that the state had given their stamp of approval upon this sale. So do you have any contact? Do you have a website or any contact information?
Well, I have a Facebook page.
Okay, Facebook, okay.
Act for America Pittsburgh.
Okay. Is Pittsburgh spelled out?
ACTFOR.
Okay.
America,
okay.
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh spelled out, okay.
And I have some, you know, posts from back in that time, if they can find them back then, you know. I took a lot of scrolling.
Right.
Right, but, you know, also have an email. It's actpgh93@gmail.com.
actpgh93@gmail.com.
Yeah, the 93 is for, you know, Flight 93.
Flight 93 is what I thought, okay. Which is a whole story into itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much, Pastor, for standing up in this situation in Shenango and for just educating on that, the whole scenario, plus your willingness to be a part of ACT for America, because it's very important that Americans understand Islam and their goals for America.
Right.
Like that. Hey, thanks.
Well, thank you very much for all you do for us, and I appreciate you offering the interview.
Okay, I'm trying to keep busy.
Okay.
Hey, you take care.
God bless.
Okay,
bye.
God bless you too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.